Live from the red carpet.
The moment you've all been waiting for.
You what?
Well, that hit the spot.
Welcome back to the Gosscast with myself, Alexandra Ryan, and Goss Study editor Kendra Becker. How are you, Kendra?
Hello. I'm good.
How was your bank holiday weekend?
It was good. It was very chilled out, which is nice. I feel like I haven't had a weekend like that in a while where I've had like nothing to do, yeah. Which is nice. Just ate loads of chocolate, pretty much.
What's your go-to Easter egg now?
I actually, controversially, I don't love a Cadbury's egg. I actually prefer like a Maltesers or
do
a Galaxy or
you
something.
You like a Nestle egg?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why.
My nephews and obviously my sister got me a Smarties egg and I was I don't know. But actually,
so you
I
love Cadbury's I'm a Cadbury though. Gal. Yeah. But there's something, I don't know, like the egg sizes are drastically smaller.
Well,
you know,
my other sister got me a Dairy Milk egg and it was XL, extra large. And it was just like a normal egg.
I got an XL one as well. But it's literally like they're on Ozempic pretty much.
Yeah,
like they're really small. Yeah.
Maybe it's just because everyone's on Ozempic. They're like, we can't make eggs that big.
It's like they're slimmer or something. They're
not
as round.
I do like the smaller eggs for kids though because I don't feel like a fat pig.
Yeah.
One of those.
Pretty much.
I actually left half of my Dairy Milk Easter egg in my sister's house.
Oh my god, what did you do
like,
that
I'll
on purpose
back. I was like I don't want to keep eating loads of chocolate. I want it. I feel like I've eaten so much crap in the last few weeks.
That was not my mindset like, over the weekend. I was like YOLO,
I need to get back to eating well and being good. And yeah, no more Easter eggs. So I had half an Easter egg. I did have the full Smarties one though, so I'd already had an egg, so I was like that's a lot. And I ate the little Smarties that came with it, so it's too much. It's too much. But no, I actually totally forgot it was the Easter egg.
I know,
like
it kind of crept up out of nowhere, didn't it? Yeah, it was
so
weird.
And obviously everyone's still on the Easter break now, so driving in to work is amazing. It's so
although
depressing.
I got something happened with the buses this morning because that fuel protest is happening.
Is it still happening today?
Yeah, it's like still ongoing today. So like 6:30 this morning, there was loads of people all over O'Connell Street. Like the Lewis wasn't able to cross over. Like like I obviously completely understand what they're doing, but like it kind of just disrupts everyone's work day.
I guess so that's like, why they do it, is to cause such disruption that like it's covered. But disrupt the politicians on the way to work. Yeah. You know?
Is your car petrol or diesel?
Petrol.
Because it's mainly diesel. Yeah.
That's why lots of farmers now are getting involved, aren't they? Yeah. Because of the diesel. No, I'm petrol.
Oh yeah, there's loads of tractors like
lying
and they
the
completely
streets.
Like blocked up the motorway and everything is wild. Yeah,
is that going to be over though? Oh, right, just
I
as everyone goes back
know.
To school.
Yeah,
and the traffic
probably
is back again. No.
Stop messing with our no traffic time. But also, I understand.
Before the bank holiday began, like ahead of it, I did watch the Lamar Odom documentary, which we're going to be talking about today. So Lamar Odom is so well known for obviously his big relationship with Khloe Kardashian. I know he's a basketball player, obviously, so famous basketball player, but he's most known for being married to Khloe Kardashian, getting engaged after 30 days, them having their own show. Khloe
they got
and
married
Lamar.
After 30 days.
Not married after 30
like,
days.
Like, that's crazy.
And then obviously in recent years, he nearly died. And it was all over the news. He was found in like a brothel that he had like 12 strokes. And very quickly, it was obvious at the time that Khloe had like stepped in to help because they were still married. She like withdrew her divorce petition, meaning that she was able to make decisions over his health and what to do and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing it at the time, like all over her social media, her like teaching Lamar how to like speak again and like trying to show him who his kids were because he'd forgotten. And like there was loads of pap photos of like Kris Jenner and Kim Kardashian being there. So that was like a big part of the documentary. So it's called The Life and Death of Lamar Odom.
Which kind of confused a lot of people because loads of people obviously saw the title and were like, is Lamar dead?
But he did technically like die.
So like he had, what did he have? He had 6 heart attacks, 12 strokes and was in a coma for 3 days, which is so insane. But yeah, him and Khloe were like fully broken up at that time. And then obviously she heard what happened and rushed to hospital in Nevada to be by his side. What did you think of the documentary as a whole, like when you were watching it?
I thought that Lamar came across quite badly.
Yeah.
And that I felt so sorry for Khloe. Like, we were only talking, we were texting about it afterwards. Like, we totally forgot she was 24 when she first married Lamar.
Yeah.
And like, a big part of the documentary was like going in behind the scenes of what was really going on in their marriage. So like, the fact that it was his idea to have the Khloe and Lamar show, not her idea.
Yeah.
The fact that he was so intrinsically interested in the world of fame also made me think slightly less of him, because I was like, he was so into it.
He essentially admitted, though, that he like married her for the clout, pretty much. He was kind of like, oh, you know, like, but also, you know, what really pissed me off as well in the documentary is like, he kind of was like, oh, well, like, I was already Lamar Odom before I met Chloe. And it's like, I get it, like, I
in the sporting world for
in the
sure,
sporting yeah. world for sure, but like, I didn't know who Lamar Odom was back then,
and I know he was playing for the Lakers, which obviously again is like a really big team, but like, he wasn't worldwide famous.
No
But also, he had a partner and kids, and you know, like, he had a whole other life before he met Chloe.
Yeah.
And seeing her in the documentary and how he basically just dropped them and then just married Chloe within 30 days, like, I'd say that was so hard for his family. I mean, I think he comes across like a deadbeat dad in it as well.
Yeah.
As in, he clearly doesn't, even now, like, it was very hard to watch, like,
His children
talking about what happened and how, like, even when he was in recovery, he kind of disappeared, and it was more about being in the press than, like, being in their lives. Like, I thought that was really hard to watch. I kind of thought the documentary would be a bit more trying to redeem his character. Mm. And maybe he thought that too, because we'll chat about an interview he did since then now. But Chloe came across really, really well in it, I thought.
Yeah.
And one of the big shocking kind of moments of it is when she talks about Lamar's dad. So when he's on life support and he's had all the heart attacks and the strokes, and the dad is like, oh, just take him off life support, he's grand. Like, let him go. And then Chloe showed up and he was like, oh, if you give me like $100 in a room for the night, I'll fuck off.
Yeah.
And then he
and a
never
pair of shoes.
Came. And a pair of shoes. Probably Nike, probably Yeezys back then.
Yeah, probably.
And then he basically fucked off. So then she kind of got in and noticed that lots of people, like, she was saying that, like, guys were showing up being like, oh, he owes me money for drugs and stuff.
Yeah.
And she was like, get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to, like, rehabilitate. So I believed every single thing that she said. Like, I think she was very honest about it. And again, she's loads of footage, like, of her sitting there literally rehabilitating him. The fact that he wasn't able to, like, walk, talk, like, he was literally at his lowest of the low.
Oh, she was, like, fully changing his nappies. Like, it was that bad.
Pure love, though.
Yeah.
To go back to someone who treated you so bad. Because obviously, it only came out in the last couple of years as well that during their marriage, like, he was sleeping with prostitutes. He was taking, like, smoking crack.
Yeah.
Like, doing all these crazy things, and that she was hiding it all the time. And it does, like, do you know the most recent season of the Kardashians, there's an episode where he comes on to the show
and they reunite,
and it's really, really awkward, and he seems really weird in it. But I really hated that Kendall was like really mean to her that season, and she was like, oh, you need to give him some grace. I'm like, she has given him nothing but grace. Doesn't deserve to even have her phone number.
And I remember at the time when that episode aired, loads of people were actually kind of agreeing with Kendall and being like, oh, she was really mean to him and stuff. I'm sorry, but if you've ever dealt with someone who has an addiction or is like that, you will get Chloe is coming from.
Of course,
like, you hit a point where you're just like,
fuck this,
fuck off.
Like, but like, she did so much, so many times, not just during their marriage, but even the fact she was saying that, like, when they were married, like, if he was with a prostitute and doing drugs, she'd like go to the room and clean it. She'd be scared that, like, the cleaner of the motel would like sell a story. Like, the amount of things she had to do over the years, and then to happen through the recovery. So that part of the documentary when she says that she went to his house that she had sourced for him, and that he still wasn't properly talking or walking, and he was in there just smoking crack, that he'd like been pretending to be still
like
very
really incapacitated.
And then she was like, get the fuck out and I'm done. Like, how did people not think she is a saint for dealing with that?
Yeah. And like, she was obviously like paying his rent, like paying for a private chef, paying for a caretaker, like everything. And he
and
had
Chris was like a second mother to him as well.
But I thought it was
smoke crack. Okay,
I love how she was so honest in it, and she said that she literally just punched him straight in the face.
I know,
because you can imagine the frustration. And she literally said in the documentary that she had put her life on hold for months to take care of him, and for him to just go and do that, like, it's such a slap in the face. And that was kind of her like final, like, just final straw, really, like, that.
And then again, so if you kick back to that episode where he comes in and he has flowers and he's all like, hey Chloe, and he's like sweating and everyone's like, oh, it's like, it's that. I think that episode shouldn't have happened though.
Yeah,
he had a book out or something at the time.
Yeah, and remember, he was wearing clothes with his face all over,
so I don't know, was he like did he want to go on the show to promote it? I'm like, how did that storyline even happen?
Apparently it was because she had to return stuff to him or something.
In the episode, that's what she does. Yeah. She found something of his.
Yeah.
But I'm like, why did the plot happen? Like, she's an exec producer. So she made the decision to bring Lamar on the show and to film that segment.
Yeah.
Knowing it was going to be uncomfortable, knowing she didn't want to see him. So I do question why it happened in the first place.
I'd say she definitely looks back on that and regrets it a bit.
During the episode. Yeah.
But it's so funny, like, in light of all this and like everything that she said on the documentary, because it's obviously so interesting because we're getting the full picture now. But like looking back on old episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians when they were going through relationship struggles and stuff, because they keep coming up, old clips keep coming up on my TikTok now.
Oh, I haven't seen these.
And it's so like you're just looking at it in such a different way now, because they were obviously kind of coy about it, but were very much like, oh, they're having these problems and blah, blah, blah. And there was one scene where Khloé, Kim and Chris are like out for dinner or something, and Lamar rings Khloé and she's like, oh, hey, whatever. And then she's like, oh, Kim, like Lamar wants to say something to you. And then like Kim picks up or whatever, and then the call drops or something, and Kim's like, oh, like I can't really hear him, and he hangs up, and Khloé's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I haven't been able to reach him for days.
Oh, really?
And like that was my one time to speak to him, like, why did you hang up?
I don't remember that at all, being on the show.
Yeah, like there's so many things that you forget that like make so much sense now.
Oh my god.
But it's really sad, like, and the fact that she dealt with it for so long
and
like
essentially
had her early 20s robbed from her.
I know,
because like that's what she was dealing with.
But then this happens and she still shows up and literally saves his life.
Yeah.
So then he did an interview with the Today Show in the US yesterday. He didn't look great on it now.
No.
But is he just awkward all the time? I don't know. Like, he just seemed really, I don't know, he seemed kind of subdued.
Yeah.
They're talking about the show, promoting it, and they're basically like, oh, like, Khloé's in it, and thank God for her, you know, like, she saved your life. And he's like, God saved my life.
Yeah. He's basically kind of downplaying a lot of the things that she said and, like, kind of discrediting
like
her.
When they talk about the father asking for the money to leave, he's like, I don't think that happened.
Yeah, he was like, I just can't imagine my father saying those words. But, like, but why would she lie?
He's hardly going to admit to it afterwards and be like, oh, no, like, I actually thought I left you for dead.
Yeah. I think his dad must be dead now, is he?
Is he?
I don't know.
I don't know. Is he?
The way he was talking, it sounded like he was dead.
Olivia.
Anyway.
Is Lamar's father.
But yeah, like he was basically kind of...
Oh, he is dead.
Yeah.
When did he die? Oh, okay, right. Well then...
But yeah, he was just like, I don't imagine my dad saying that, like he would never.
But the
why would Khloé make that
up? Was very much like... not wanting to give any clout to Khloé. And then they asked him as well, do you think he got married for fame or love? And he was like, oh, there was love there. It's like, right, so did you get married for
I do actually think that they were in love and that they like really loved each other and had a nice relationship. And like she has said it herself, that if he didn't have his addiction issues, that they would probably still be together. Like I know they got married after like 30 days or whatever, like, which is always a disaster.
Bit of a red flag.
But I do think that like they did actually love each other, but unfortunately he was the wrong person for her.
But it's just like once again another slap in the face that she agreed to see this documentary, probably on his request. And now he's basically like, she's a liar.
Yeah.
If I was her, see, it's so hard because I remember watching that episode and like Kendall, even Chris seems to love Lamar. I'm like, I hate that about the Kardashians, that they keep all these like really shitty men around afterwards, like Tristan. And they're all like, he's such a great father and he's so great. And I'm like, yeah, he's also an asshole.
Yeah, like terrible person.
The only person they seem to have really distanced themselves from is Kanye.
Is Kanye, yeah.
Yeah, like the rest of them, they're like, they're fine. Their behavior is fine. It's like,
Yeah, like with Tristan, like I suppose like they have children together, so you'd kind of slightly understand that.
Well.
Yeah, I suppose.
I just think there's a lot of bad behavior that goes on and they're very much like, oh, we just love them. They're part of the family. But like with Lamar, how many more things does that man have to do?
Yeah.
Because same with Caitlyn, like they cut Caitlyn off really. Like I know Caitlyn was back in the season, this season as well, but they've mainly been like with her, like you can't come in because they've hurt them so many times. I just find it weird that there's a lot of the guys that are still hanging around. I think Chris would like meet Lamar in a heartbeat.
It's the same with like Scott as well. Like Scott, if you think back, like he did terrible things to Courtney. Cheated on her. Like it's so funny. I actually would love to properly rewatch watched the Kardashians like from the early days.
There's crazy episodes.
The things that happened.
Remember Scott shoving money in that waiter's face in Vegas and smashing
his hand
against thing. All the fights in Miami.
Yeah.
They were so dark.
Like, it was really bad. I remember they did that reunion thing with Andy Cohen.
That was really good.
It was only a few years ago, I think. And Courtney was asked if it wasn't for Scott's like addiction issues, does she think they'd be still together? And she was like, yeah.
They all just have severe daddy issues, basically.
Yeah.
And I'd say it's because their dad died at such an untimely, because the fact that a few of them have ended up in these situations.
Yeah.
And they talk about the Kardashian curse. Do you think that's real?
No, I don't think it's real. I think it's just there's such a massive spotlight on them, like that
anything
you know,
goes wrong is like,
yeah.
Interesting that Kim and Lewis Hamilton have hard launched.
I know. Kind of a random hard launch, isn't it?
It is random, but I feel like everything she does is so curtailed. So it's probably not random. The fact is at the very end of the clip.
Yeah.
As well.
They were obviously in Tokyo together for ages, but then she wasn't actually at the F1 race at all.
Yeah.
Which is probably a conscious decision, I'd say. Yeah. It would have been absolute mayhem if she was there. Yeah.
She better come to one of them because I want to meet
her. Do you think they'll last?
I don't know. It seems very early days with them. I do find it mad that she hard launches things so early. Like, I remember Pete Davidson as well. It seemed so early.
Yeah.
Like, I just think if you're famous, you should be so careful about sharing your relationship. She seems to be like, woo.
He definitely does seem like the complete opposite to Kanye. As in, like, he's very chill.
He's very relaxed.
You know,
I do think they'd actually make a really good couple.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, he was with Nicole Scherzinger for years. Like, he has the capability of being in a long-term relationship. So
Nicole looks very like Kim. Like, it's obviously his type.
Yeah. Definitely his type. They do look cute together, I have
to say.
They do,
yeah.
And he's doing well in the driving since they met.
Yeah.
Speaking of hard launches then, Tyreek and Sammy have hard launched the Love Island stars. That whole situation is very confusing to me, though. So you need to explain it, because she just won Love Island All Stars with Kieran like weeks ago. Yeah. So what the hell?
There's been a lot of TikToks, live streams, podcasts that like
so
tie into this whole thing.
So many podcasts.
Basically, Sammy and Kieran, they obviously won Love Island All Stars back in February. 3 weeks later, they split up. Which is kind of surprising. Like, they seemed really happy out.
Yeah, they seemed
stuff.
Really into each other.
So people were very confused by that. And then literally only a few days later, Sammy was spotted on a date with Tyreek. And like, Love Island fans will kind of know who, like, you know, follow Tyreek and stuff. He has been like making it known that he really fancies Sammy for ages.
Yeah.
He said it on like a few live streams and stuff like that.
He loves a live stream, Tyreek.
I think he's on Twitch.
Okay, cool.
And he's like really popular on there. But yeah, they were spotted on a date. And then Kieran basically did a podcast with Joe Bags and said that like Sammy switched up after they left the villa and said that, you know, she essentially kind of ghosted him. Like, he would ring her and she'd be like, oh, I'll ring you back in 2 minutes, and then would just never ring him back.
Right.
And yeah, he basically said that she ghosted
him. Do they live far
him.
Away from each other?
Yeah, so he's from Wales and she's from like
London,
I think. Yeah. So like, that is pretty far. And I think he lives a very different life to her. And that's kind of what she's said since, being like, you know, I kind of realized that we lead very different lives since they left. So she ended up calling things off with him while she was on a brand trip over
Olivia
in New York
Atwood
with Olivia Atwood. Yeah. I'd say Olivia was like, yeah, dump his ass.
Yeah, say so. I think she's like, get rich.
So yeah, they broke up. She was spotted with Tyreek. Then went to Morocco with Tyreek, which is kind of the latest thing that's kind of happened now.
So random.
They kind of hard launched their romance over there. He posted this video like riding on the back of a jet ski
with Sammy,
like, oh god. And loads of people were
harsh on Kieran, isn't it?
Yeah, basically like saying they felt really bad for Kieran. And like, Tyreek kind of strikes me as like a professional troll, though.
Yeah,
like,
he
kind
of
loves
a
rage bait.
Yeah.
that kind of thing. But he did a podcast. Joe Bag is getting all these podcast episodes with them. And he, because loads of people are questioning the timeline of their relationship and
very
questioning
fast.
Whether they were speaking before the villa and stuff like that. And he kind of like, his answer was a bit contradictory because he said, we weren't speaking whatsoever before the villa. But then he was like, before the villa, I was trying. I can't lie. I was shooting my shot. But she was like, no, you're not serious. And then he was like, okay, do your thing. So that says to me that they were speaking.
Right up to going on the show, it sounds like.
So I'm like, what?
Okay. This seems like a real, like there was something there. And then he was like, right, you know, you go do you. And then when she came out, he realized what he lost and really wanted.
Yeah.
Wow, another man wanted what they can't have. Shocker.
Shocker. But yeah, loads of people were saying that they like felt really bad for hearing and stuff. And Tyreek on that podcast was like, oh, look, like I was being disrespectful. And I do feel
bad.
He
was like, I've never met the man. I don't care.
But he was basically like, I don't owe him anything. Yeah. Like, he's not my friend. So like.
But didn't he send her flowers when they were still together? That was like one of the big issues Kieran had.
Apparently
Kieran had sent him her flowers.
Yeah.
And then he found out that Tyreek had sent her flowers.
Yeah.
Like, how did he have her address? Like,
so her local florist was like,
where do I go with these? But yeah, so I saw Kieran's podcast. He came across like such a bore on it, I'm not going to lie. He was just like, yeah, I don't know, like, Sammy. Da, da, da.
And that's the thing, like, I do think they are quite different.
He lives
a quiet life. He is like, you know, he lives in Wales, very quiet life, like, very Liam Reardon vibes.
Yeah.
I remember that was the whole issue between Liam and Millie, is that she wanted to live in Essex. You know, she's very much a party girl. Whereas Liam isn't like that. He wanted to stay in Wales.
Near his family.
Live his Welsh
life.
Yes, you
think Kieran's the same?
Yeah.
But then I saw, obviously, Sammy came on herself and was like, right, I have to talk about the podcast. And she kind of accused him of like making things up and that certain things hadn't happened. And that when she came out, she just wasn't feeling it. And like, why should she stay with someone that the public want her to stay with, but she actually doesn't want to? But I do think having another guy there like Tyreek would easily make your decision for you.
Yeah, and I do think like whatever, if she wanted to move on with Tyreek, like that's fine, but like posting all the pictures together and everything, like it is a little bit mean.
It is mean.
And loads of people were commenting being like she should give her 25 grand back because obviously she won the 50,000 with Kieran, which they split.
She's all spending like, that 25k in Morocco, it looks
basically
on the jet ski. That's probably 2 grand gone.
Honestly,
how does Tyreek make a punt now? Does he make money
from Twitch? I'd say like people that are on Twitch make so much
money.
How could
you date someone that has a Twitch?
But he actually was doing like all these Twitch streams during the current season of Love Island, and he was having loads of Love Islanders on,
right,
and like interviewing them and stuff.
And was he talking about Sammy during the season?
He was, yeah, and he kept being like, oh, Sammy's really fit and blah blah blah. Yeah. So like he was very much making it known that he fancied her.
Right.
Which is interesting. I'm like,
I don't know. Who would you prefer to be dating? Someone who wants a quiet life in Wales or someone who has a Twitch live stream? Do you know what I mean? Come on.
It's Sophie's choice. Really.
Come on. No, come on now. And like, it's so, this is the thing. I think Sammy, remember we had talked about it. She like, I had thought, really redeemed herself this season on the show. I was very anti-Lucinda. I thought Sammy dealt with everything with grace. I thought she did such a good job. Her and Kieran were so cute. And now
Sammy like did not think they were going to win though. And I think she was a bit like, oh shit. Like,
but she was mad about him on the show. Do you remember when the Lucinda stuff happened?
I think it's easy to be mad about someone though when you're in like a bubble. Like that, you know, like you're in close quarters. And also, you know, the whole Lucinda situation, I think that really pushed her towards Kieran because
he's going to be taken away from her.
Yeah. And I think that was a bit like, oh, it's going to be taken away from me now. I want what I can't have.
Another want what you can't have. Wow.
It's a tale as old as time.
It really is.
But I think that kind of pushed her into his arms then. And then she's like said in interviews that she didn't expect them to win at all. Right. You can kind of tell in the final, she seemed also a little bit locked.
So yeah, she was a little
she
crying.
She said that she had like 3 wines before.
Oh, really?
So she was a bit like, oh God.
I did think they were really cute though. But maybe she's just not ready to be in a very settled, calm, quiet relationship, because that's what they had in the villa. But that's what life was like in the villa. It was just sitting around every day, having chats.
And like, she is like a London girl, you know. I don't think she would ever be moving.
Do you think
to the valleys.
Her and Tyreek are gonna work then?
I don't know.
I see Lucinda and Sean are still going strong.
They're just TikToking away.
They're just TikToking all the time. Like, I feel like they don't date each other. They just TikTok. Every time they see each other, she's like teaching them a new routine to do.
I saw someone like comment on one of her TikToks before and they were like, Lucinda pisses me off so much, but she's so good at TikTok.
She is
like,
good at TikTok.
She is like, she's really good at picking up on the trends.
Yeah, immediately.
Stuff.
Like, really.
So, like,
quickly.
In fairness to her.
And then obviously, Belle. And
Harrison are broken up.
Shocker. He put up a video like yesterday being like, thank you, next. Did you see that?
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Lol.
Definitely it is going to be photos of him out with Lauren somewhere now.
And Scott and Leanne are official now as well.
Are they?
So that like all happened on the same day. Yeah.
Took a bit of time. How are you not official?
But like, geez, you'd struggle to keep up with the drama of this whole cast.
The group
as well.
Is very like in this weird clique of drama between them, isn't it?
And like the stuff that so Scott and Whitney and Belle like got into this big like online beef like last week, I think, because Whitney and Belle basically went on two separate podcasts and said that Scott
got
basically went to the dentist
multiple
during,
times apparently for multiple.
He had like
root canals.
A full on root canal, but got access to a phone and basically like got outsider information that like this person was most popular, this person was not popular,
and
blah,
at the time
blah.
Belle was like really popular, so when he came back to the villa she said as well that like on one of their off days he was just like, will we just get together?
But their stories are not adding up though, because I know they both said he got access to the phone, but their stories are both different, because Belle said that he had found out that she was the most popular.
Yeah.
But then Whitney said that she had found out that people wanted Scott and Leanne to be together.
Yeah, but they're saying he went to the dentist multiple times.
Oh,
so basically
okay.
he found out initially, so he came back. This is why Belle is trying to say he was really hot and cold.
Okay.
And then they only realized afterwards that he had got access to a phone. Mm. So he came back and there was some off day and he said something like, we should just get together, because he'd found out everyone was loving her at home.
Yeah.
After all the Sean stuff. And then went to the dentist again.
Yeah, no,
and
then apparently he had said that to Belle when they were going to the USA villa. Which kind of makes sense, because when they got to the USA villa, Belle did seem like she had changed a little bit. Mm. So maybe he had gotten in her head that
way.
But
they did call him Producer Scott all season as well. So like the fact that he got a phone and was like changing how he was acting.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And like if people don't think that the Islanders aren't talking to producers all the time, like
they're sat down every morning,
like it's a show.
Even with Belle explaining why she got with Scott, she's like, oh, in the morning the producer was like, you should go for Scott, and she was like, oh.
They're all like in
just
there,
sitting there
being
like, you should chat to this person, don't chat to that person. Like, it's so interesting.
Do you think you'd
works.
Be a good Love Island producer?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Oh, my God. Creating storylines. That'd be so fun.
Good.
You'd be good at that, too.
Yeah, I think
we'd
so.
We'd be like, Like, they obviously pick up on real things, though. Like, you have to be so... I think you have to be really good at intuition and understanding people, which I feel like I am. I think that's why I'd be a good Love Island producer. Because you'd see, like, a little smirk or a little glint or a little kind of bitchy girl look and you'd be like, right, they don't.
And again, like there's loads of stuff that we don't see, but obviously the producers see, like they obviously have like a live feed and everything that's
all
going on
the time. But yeah, All Stars is coming back,
yes,
for another season. Who would you like to see on it? Do you have an idea?
Who would I like to see?
I feel like Jack should go on it again. He needs
he can't go on it again.
He needs another try. No. He's never met anyone on it, though. I feel bad.
We can't. No. I would love to...
Andrada?
Yeah, Andrada would be good. Her I feel Irish like girls. She, like, you know, she proved to be a good Islander when she was in there. What UK people would I like to see, though? I'd like to...
Olivia Atwood.
Yeah, Olivia Atwood would be so iconic, but she would never do it.
She wouldn't. She'd probably host it, if anything.
But I'd love, like, some OGs like that to go back in. Like, maybe even, like, Kem, Setanay and stuff like that.
What age is he now? Like,
God.
They swallow with my
thing. You'd be surprised, though, because a lot of them, when they first went on, were, like, 19.
Yeah,
like, they're
true.
So young,
sorry,
so maybe
yeah,
they're
true.
Still in their 20s now.
29 now.
Yeah, that's not too
he
bad.
He must have been, like, 12 when he was on.
Yeah. What about maybe like Laura Anderson? She's single now
again.
She
has
a baby though.
Be hard
so I don't
to
know if
she
was
long.
Faye Winters.
Faye
I would
deserves
love
to go back
to see her go
It sounds
back
like
on.
They've asked her a few times though, based on
she
the chats
no.
she said. I think Faye'd be good. Any guys other than Kem?
Jack Fowler. Mm. Yeah, he'd be really good.
Like they're gonna run out of All Stars.
They are.
If they I think they'll
only be able to do it for a few years.
But we do have this summer series coming up, though. So people from that season,
I feel like we'll see an Irish influencer on there.
I fully agree.
Yeah. Not to name names,
but there's definitely a female Irish influencer going to be on Love Island this summer. Yeah. Definitely.
And I think she'll
She could win it.
Yeah, I think so.
She won't take any shit.
No.
Definitely not.
No.
I really hope that happens.
Yeah. I think it will.
So
I really think it will.
On the show. I'm excited for the summer Love Island to come back. That's my favorite one.
Yeah.
I do like All Stars, but the summer one is better because the bombshells are all so random and you don't know who anybody is.
I also don't think they should do that USA twist again. I think it was shite.
Yeah, although look at Millie and Zach.
They're not going to last. So, like, I know it's terrible, but sorry, have you seen their TikToks together?
I haven't really. I've skipped past.
He gave
me the ick just looking at his TikToks. So I don't really watch the two.
They posted a video of him like singing in it and she's just like,
oh my God,
it.
I saw that. I saw that one.
Oh my God.
Is that his
Deleted
own song?
From the internet.
Is that his own song?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think someone was like, oh, he like serenaded
Whether
me
it's
with
his own
song
or not, don't do
she's
that.
She's just like,
and you can tell in her head, she's like, I have the biggest ick right
in
now.
The world. Yeah, there's an ick there. I think Sammy got the ick with Kieran too. I don't know if men understand that an ick is very serious.
It
it's
is
like a mental
serious.
Disorder.
And some you can get by.
But
some are so detrimental that there's just no clawing
back. But if you really get an ick, like an actual ick, I don't think you can get through it.
What's your biggest ick?
I don't like... I definitely don't like weird laugh. I really don't like, I don't know how to say this. I don't love guys. I don't like the idea of a guy on a bike. If someone like cycles to me, I'm like, why are you?
It depends.
It's not that I mind them cycling, but if it's like to me or like.
If it's like cycling involved, to meet you on a date, turn that bike around and go home.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't.
But you also don't like people getting the Lewis and stuff.
I don't
like
people
getting
people
have to get public transport. What if they want to have an L drink?
Well, get a taxi like a grown man. But I think, no.
And the fuel crisis at the moment, Ali, how dare you?
The public transport thing is all to do with like the date, I think. It's not that they're like, oh, I got the Lewis to work and I'm like, ugh.
It's like they're not.
It's more like, oh, running a bit late because I have to catch like the 16B. I'm like, what? Why are you telling me?
Oh, no, the thoughts of people, like I would ick myself out by running for the bus. Like if I see the bus coming, I'm not running. I'm like, I'll get the next one. Like I can't deal with the embarrassment of like that awkward jog where you're like trying to get the bus,
but
whatever.
It's
and you
also
can't get
not
it.
A like lifelong ick. Like when I'm seeing someone, if they are cycling and taking like a public transport, it's totally fine. It's not like an actual, it's an early date ick that I get. Like I don't really want to know how the person got to the
place. If you were madly in love with someone, then they start cycling, you wouldn't be like, we're done.
My ex like took public transport. It was fine. I got through it. Like it was good. But I think I just don't like the mystery being taken away in early dates where they're like, oh, like I just made myself some dinner there and I got on the Lewis and I cycled. I'm like, I don't want to know how you got here. Like what happened? Like, I don't know.
I don't want your agenda.
But I do get an ick of like, you know my story of someone before who used to send me voice notes about every single thing they made for food during the day. That gives me a nick. I don't know. I just think early days, there has to be mystery. I don't like people who like overshare and specifically share their like navigational whereabouts.
Yeah, like but it's like there. Oversharing irrelevant information that you just don't want to know.
I just think you have to keep it cool early in. I definitely think it's icky too for someone to be like, you're so amazing.
Yeah.
And you've just met them. It's like, what? Do you have an ick?
What are my icks?
Don't leave me hanging there. Mine sound crazy.
No, one of my genuine icks is like people running for the bus.
But something and like a then, guy has said to you.
Oh. Yeah, like guys that are just way too intense from the off. On. Because it's like, and I remember you said this to me before, you were like, that's such a red flag if people are really into you from the first date, because like they don't know you. Especially like in the whole culture of like dating apps and stuff, they are a literal stranger when you meet them.
Anyone who's like, oh, I want to call you or like, let's do this and like, you're so great and I think I'm just like, this, you must do this with every girl. That's what I think.
And like, don't get me wrong, like obviously they should be like texting you after the date to be like, you know, had a great time and stuff like
not
that,
like 10 essays.
But if they're like, you know, texting you and calling you all the time and being like, can't wait to see you again, blah blah, it's just
a bit
like
much
okay
early on. And also, that sounds like love bombing.
Yes.
You got to be careful of the love bombers.
Which is not
We good. Don't like a love bomber.
No.
We definitely don't like a love bomber. But yeah, they're my main icks. But I get through them. So maybe they're not actual icks because when I'm with someone, it doesn't bother me that they take public transport.
Yeah.
It's like a first date ick, I would call that.
Yeah.
I just don't want to know much. I'm just like, let's have...
And I do think sometimes the whole like ick culture can go a little bit too far as well, where people are like, oh, like he...
The way he chews is gone.
Yeah, and like, I had to break up with him then. It's like, okay, give some people a chance.
Though, because I remember we talked about this previously. We have had issues with getting icks over emojis on text messages.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, early in though, like before meeting someone for a date.
Yeah.
Like the emojis, like, you know, the tongue out emoji.
Oh, the one where it's like one eye is kind of closed and they're like,
Yeah.
Like,
I'm like,
what are you? Are you bored?
Well, I don't think
but
I
it's
can get
really
over that
like
emoji.
It's they're trying to be like cheeky, but it's like you're 34.
Yeah,
like, shut up.
No, I have
it's so
issues.
Weird.
And as you know, grammar for me.
Yeah,
but I have fought through this in the past.
One of your exes had terrible grammar.
So bad. And I corrected him and he was
all
like, you actually correcting my grammar.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. That was before we got together. I was like, I can't speak to you if you're going to talk like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it's like people that like still text. Because you know, like back in the day when we had Nokia phones,
yeah.
We had to text the like shorthand way because it was like so difficult to text. Now it's like you have a full keypad.
We also used to do dot, 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 comma, comma instead of like dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? What are you trying to say? I had to say something. I was like, what are you doing?
Did he change it at all when you said it?
Yeah.
He was there like on Google.
No, he
like,
did change it.
He's on ChatGPT being like, make this sound better.
ChatGPT wasn't there at the time. This is a couple of years ago. But no, he did start changing how he texted
right.
them. I was like,
I wonder, did he have the thesaurus?
But it was icking me so much. Also, another ick, which I've said to you before too, is guys that send selfies like after like the first date. And
don't
like,
send me a picture.
Just going to sleep. And it's me and I'm like, I don't even know if I like you, you freak. It really turns me off. Do you remember that guy who ends up going out with ladies? But I remember at the time. I was like, I don't even know if I like him now.
Yeah.
This is like really weird.
You were so freaked out about that.
I
and like for someone
like
who
people.
Like loves to take an old photo, you were like, ew.
But in your bed, like topless, when I've met you once.
Yeah.
That's really
and
weird.
Like
I don't need to know. It's again
navy sheets.
It's again like. They actually weren't navy, but it's again like I don't need to know everything right now. Like I don't know. I just think early dates you should be like shrouded in mystery, getting to know someone, no too full on, no public transport.
You have to have a car.
You have a car. Basically you have a car. I could not date someone who doesn't have a car personally.
Yeah. True.
I would struggle a little bit with that. I just, no, I love to drive.
Yeah. Well, as long as one of you has a car,
well, as long as there's a car in the relationship.
Yeah.
But I sound so difficult.
Yeah. You sound like such a bitch,
I sound like such a bitch. They're small things.
How did we even start talking about icks?
Because we were saying that there was...
Oh, because Zach is a massive ick.
Before we go, we should touch on all the kind of switch-ups that's going on in the Irish media at the moment because 2FM have had a big switch-up. There's also rumours that Patrick Keelty might be leaving the Late Late Show. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of like Irish media jobs kind of up for grabs, moving around. So the 2FM, that was quite a big change.
How many times are they going to announce a switch-up? I'm actually fucking sick of it. Like
the first time Dearen left, I think there was one and there was another and then there was another. This feels like the fourth.
Well, remember, Dearen, Jennifer Zamparelli and the two Johnnies left within like a month of each other.
Yeah.
So that was like the first
2 years ago,
big thing. That was like the... you know, massive 2FM overhaul.
Yeah.
And I think ever since then, they've been struggling to
get
the schedule
it again.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think 2FM has been at the like peak since Breakfast Republic was on with
Jennifer Zamparelli,
Keith and Bernard.
Yeah,
that was iconic. And then it was Nikki and Jenny.
Yeah.
But I think back in those days when it was Breakfast Republic and then Nikki and Jenny, they were just so good. And the chemistry between those presenters was
every
like
every show was like spot on. Yeah.
Because we would always have 2FM on in work. So we were like properly listening to the shows every day.
Yeah.
And they were so good back then. And I think they've been struggling to kind of get it right.
Get the recipe
since
right
then.
Kind of to the perfect fit. Yeah. What do you think of this lineup then?
So it's not like the only massive change really is that Tracy is gone, which is really surprising to me.
Yeah.
Like Tracy has been there for 10 years. She was
Tracy.
In that 1 o'clock to 3 p.m. slot
yeah.
For years and years. And Katya, I'm really surprised,
is joining the station officially.
Yeah, and Katya is basically joining the station.
And leaving her Virgin Media role.
Yeah, yeah, she's leaving the 6 o'clock show. Now, Katya had stepped in to cover Blana Tracy's show over the weekend, which was obviously kind of like her audition. So she had been doing that since October, and now she's going to be doing 2FM Drive. And then Demi Isaac and Mikey are taking over Tracy's slot.
Right.
And they are recording down in the Cork studios. They were actually selected through the Expressions of Interest competition that they did last year, which is amazing. Like, it's really good to see newer talent getting a chance and stuff like that. Now, I know Tracy in her statement said that, you know, she felt a bit of a nudge to like, have a bit of a change.
Do something different maybe.
Recently, and she said that she wants to get into more TV and stuff like that. And then the actual day that it was announced that she was leaving 2FM, she went on the 6 o'clock show and covered for Katya.
They actually have the same agent as well.
They actually, her and Brian went down really well with people.
Did they?
Because we did a feature on like who we might think will replace Katya on the show, and loads of people actually commented and said that they really liked Brian and Tracy together. And now Tracy's covering the show with Katya this week because Brian's taking some time off, obviously, for midterm. So they must be kind of floating the idea of maybe Tracy, getting Tracy on.
I think she'd be amazing.
Because that's the main way that they do audition people, is they get them to actually
do guest segments.
Yeah,
I'd be interested to see, because I know James Kavanagh does a lot of segments there as well. Darren Kennedy. I'd be interested to see. Now, it sounds like up until autumn, he's just going to have guest presenters with him.
Yeah.
So Tracy could be on for a good amount of time. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see that. Also, a big change, well, I think it's a big change anyway, is that Dearing Garrahy is getting Jerry Ryan's old slot. I also feel like they've struggled to get that slot right. Since Jerry, to be honest. I think when Jennifer Zamparelli had it, though, she did a really good
job. I think she did a really good job.
I think Dearing could do a really good job as well. She's so seasoned in it now. Like, you really need a seasoned presenter, I think, to do that slot because it's real, like, serious issues you know.
I think Dearing would be quite similar to Jen in that they can handle serious topics, but they're also a bit of crack
fun
as well,
and
are a bit fun.
Yeah, like Jennifer Zamparelli used to have that like little sex segment, you know, where she always had like a sex therapist on. So like, it is a real mixed bag, that show, but I think Dearing's well able to handle that. I think that's going to go down really well. So maybe this could be the perfect fit that we've been waiting for.
I do think like people will miss Katya on 6 o'clock show. I'm not surprised that she would obviously take an RTE job.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, it's top tier in terms of media. Like,
in
why
Ireland,
wouldn't you?
Yeah. Other than Ghost,
other than Goss. But I do think that the 6 o'clock show did really suit her, and her and Brian seem to get
friends,
on so
like,
well.
Yeah.
So I am surprised that she's leaving.
I know, but when
position.
You can take the opportunity to get into RTE, I think that's what people are aiming for.
Yeah.
And like, Katya has had like a real quick, like, surgeons up the ladder, if you think about it, like, you know, like how she started, like, she was basically just an influencer.
Yeah. And she did actually say to me, because she was our Goss cover star for February, or was it March?
March.
And she said that she really wanted to get into radio, and she also said that she wanted to kind of settle down a little bit.
Yeah.
And obviously the 6 o'clock show,
the
like
evenings.
It is pretty full on.
Yeah.
Whereas like maybe, you know, 2FM Drive, what is that, 3 to 6?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's
a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
And then obviously RTE said in the statement that Tracy very much remains part of the RTE family and will announce details soon. So we might see her come out with a documentary or a show.
I'd say she'll still, like, you know, because she always presents the Choice Music Prize every year and stuff. She'll still do things like that.
People already miss her show. Like, she's a really good ear for, like her actual music choices.
She
on
also
the show.
Has, like, such good long-standing relationships with musical artists.
Yeah.
Like, recently she interviewed Niall Horan, Dermot Kennedy.
That.
Like, she's the one that always gets
those
interviews.
Big interviews, yeah.
So I'd be interested to see, like, who will be doing them now.
And then obviously Patrick Keilty, his contract is coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that since day dot, I don't know if you remember, but when it all got announced that Patrick was doing the show and he was taking the contract, I've literally said it from the first day that I don't think he's going to stay past the end of the contract. And he's also gone through a lot. Like, he lives in London still, so he's still traveling back and forth. Him and Kat Dealey are going through a divorce.
Mm.
Like, there's a lot going on there. It doesn't surprise me that there's rumors now that he might not be renewing.
Yeah. So basically over the weekend, it came out, it was in the Sunday Independent, that Patrick and RTÉ had declined to say whether an agreement had been reached for her to for him to continue hosting. And obviously his initial contract was for 3 years.
Yeah.
So,
and remember that contract was literally like looked over with a microscope because the Ryan Torberty scandal had just happened. So every cent that he was making, whether he was paying for the flights or not himself, I'd say when he originally signed on to it, he was like, what have I done? Because everyone was like looking at the contract inside out. So maybe they're still in negotiations. Do you think that's what it could be?
Potentially, yeah. Like, it's obviously nothing is set in stone. And I do think it was such a big job to fill. I do feel bad for him that, you know, the criticism that he has got. I do think he has done a good job.
Yeah.
Especially when it came to the toy show. I think he nailed
that. Did a really good toy show this year, yeah.
Yeah, he absolutely nailed that element of the job. But I think, I don't know, it was just the Late Late Show was so different when Ryan was on it.
They've really changed the format, like having everybody on the soap at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know if that works.
Graham Norton vibe, but one of the main producers on the Late Late Show at the moment came from Graham Norton, so I think that's where the idea came from, but I think I preferred it the way it was previously. But who could we have as host? Like, who would you see?
I could see like the likes of Nicky Byrne doing
it. Me too. I think Nicky is so good. And he'd have the celebrity draw.
Yeah.
He could get like really good people. Mm-hmm. But I've noticed with his podcast, like he's also tackling like more serious conversations. Yeah. I think Nicky would be
Be well able. And yet, like you're saying, like he has that kind of celebrity stance he has. And that was the thing with Ryan as well. Ryan had like a lot of relationships that he had built with all
years
like,
and years.
You know, the likes of Russell Crowe and stuff. They came on the show because O'Connor, they knew Ryan.
But also like, I think it's so important for the Late Late Show is to live in Ireland. You have to know what's going on. Not that Patrick doesn't, but like you need to be a part of like the culture and what's going on, and seeing, you know, Mary in the local shop bringing up some topic and then you're going, oh, maybe we should cover that on the show. I don't know, I just think you should really live in Ireland.
Do you think Ryan would ever go back?
I don't think so. I was thinking that a second ago. I don't think he'd go back to the Late Late. I don't think he would.
Yeah.
I think he'd come back to RTÉ.
Yeah.
I don't think he would take over the Late Late Show again.
It would be so iconic if he came back.
But it's such a huge show and there's so much pressure on your shoulders, like, you know, your salary being published, everyone think like asking questions about, like, you're basically the face of RTÉ when you host the Late Late Show.
I do think people would, if that were to happen though, people would actually welcome him back.
Yeah.
I don't think it's
people
that far-fetched.
People miss him.
Yeah.
I just don't think he would want to return to Late Late Show. Like, he's left it behind for a reason and he's doing loads of other things now.
Who else?
I also think Miriam McCallaghan, if she's Stephanie. So when Patrick got the contract, the rumours were that Claire Byrne had been offered the show and she turned it down, which she has then confirmed since then that she like turned down the Late Late Show. And I think Miriam McCallaghan was probably in the running around that time too, but when it seemed like Claire was getting it, she maybe stepped back. And was like, let's Claire have it. So I think Miriam could be very good.
Yeah, I think Miriam could be good, but I also think she loves primetime though, and she would have to give that up.
Yeah.
And they're very different shows.
But then Sarah McInerney could take over primetime herself, maybe.
True.
But Sarah McInerney is also amazing too. The hard thing about the Late Late Show is the toy show as well.
You need someone
who can also get into the Christmas jumpers and run around and play with loads of kids. So like, we'll see. Nicky Byrne, I think, would be very good at that.
He'd be really good.
He's really, really good. But then Westlife are still like touring and stuff, so.
Yeah, they have like their anniversary tour, the 25th one this year. But then like maybe after that they're planning to wrap it up. Like they have been kind of on their comeback buzz for a few years now. Maybe they're planning on.
But no, look, maybe Patrick will re-sign it and renegotiate. But I think as well with the separation with Kat, like, I don't know, would he like a bit of a break maybe and just go back to the UK for a while?
Yeah.
Like, and his mother dying as well. Like, so much has happened in the last
few years. Yeah, he's had a really rough, like,
really rough time.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe he would like a bit of a break.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that they, like, refuse to comment, basically, on whether. Like, they could have been like, oh, we're in the middle of negotiations right now, or... Yeah. We're about to sign back on. We'll let you know when it's agreed. Like the fact that there was like no comment, that is slightly concerning.
And also, like, aside from the Late Late Show and stuff, like Patrick, he's obviously a comedian, but also he's an actor as well.
Yeah.
He has his own production company. Like there is many other things that he could be doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I don't think.
And it's so iconic to host the Late Late. Maybe he feels like he's done that.
Yeah. And at least like his mom got to see him
do it,
you know.
So sad.
I'm sure it was like such a big moment for
and
him
I think
and his family.
The toy show this year was one of my favorites. So like he'll stay in the Hall of Fame for the toy show. I think he's done such a good job.
Definitely.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there, guys. Hope you enjoyed the episode and we'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.